We are glad to present your speaker, Don Blackwell.
We do still have some people who are visiting with us because, of course, this past Thursday was Thanksgiving. And I know some of you are here for the holiday, and it's a very good holiday. It's a time for family to get together and to eat and to fellowship. But it has with it the purpose of being thankful. In fact, I looked up this week in the encyclopedia the definition of Thanksgiving. It says it is an annual one-day holiday to give thanks, and it says in quotations, traditionally to God, for the things that one has at the close of the harvest season. And so it's a time to be grateful. It's a time for us to be appreciative of the great blessings that we have in this country. And you know, we need a lot more of that in the United States of America. Because though we are some of the most blessed people in all of the world, we also seemingly have some of the most thankless people in all of the world. Now, why that is, I don't know. Some people have pointed back to the 1930s and said that it all started back then. They say that during the 1930s, and some of you may remember this, that we went through a period in this country of a Great Depression. And we had a very difficult time in which things were very tough and jobs were scarce and people were very, very poor. And sometimes people today say that things are very tough. But they're not compared to what the people went through then. The people who were there would tell you things are not that difficult now. But just as we came out of the Great Depression, then we entered into a great world war. And of course, with God's help, freedom was won and we put down the enemy. But then when we came out of that war, some people would say that something happened as a result of that Great Depression and that war, something that was not good. They would say that many people in that generation had a mindset in which they said, I am not going to let my children and my grandchildren go through the difficulties that I went through. I don't want them to endure the suffering and the pain and the hardship that I had to endure. We want to make sure that our children do not do without. And, of course, that's a noble ambition. But it carries with it a lot of consequences. And so they say that part of the consequences of that mindset is that we have now reached a point in this country that we have generations of people who are ungrateful. Generations of people who think that everybody owes them something. Generations of people who don't want to carry any responsibility but want to have everything handed to them on a silver platter. Now, I don't know if the Great Depression or the World War or anything was to blame for this. I don't know what you point to and say this is the cause of it. But I do know this. One of the major sins in our beloved America is ingratitude and unthankfulness. And did you know that when you go to the Bible, we learn that ingratitude and unthankfulness is a mark of a degenerate society? I want you to look with me at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to notice what the Apostle Paul says here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says in verse 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents." Now notice this, "unthankful and unholy." Now you read this list of sins of a degenerate society and you might expect to find words like covetous and blasphemers and unholy, but here in the midst of it is this word unthankful. Brethren, God does not look very kindly on those who always expect to be given something, and when they are given something, they fail to give thanks. They fail to express gratitude for that which the Lord has done. And so today we need to be grateful for God's many blessings that have been shed upon us. In fact, every day ought to be a day of thanksgiving in the life of a Christian. Now, here's the first point in tonight's lesson. And that is that the Bible teaches that we have to have an attitude of gratitude. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful." Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." And this thanksgiving should be a significant part of our prayer life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Give thanks in all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you." And so we see that this attitude of gratitude It's not something that's optional. It's not something that God gives us a choice about. He expects that. In fact, to be an ingrate is to be disobedient. And to be disobedient is to be lost. But you know, the Bible doesn't only teach us gratitude by command. It also teaches us by example. You know, Jesus prayed on numerous occasions to the Father for various things and gave thanks. Oftentimes we see Jesus praying and thanking God for things such as food. In Mark chapter 8 and verse 6, the Bible says He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves. He gave thanks. He broke the bread and gave it to His disciples to set before them. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says that He has given us an example that we should walk in His footsteps. Do you always do that? Before you eat, do you sit down and you take an opportunity to thank God for this food that He's blessed you with? And Jesus did that. He thanked the Father for this food. Numerous examples could be given. David was a man who constantly raised his voice in gratitude to God and thanksgiving to God. You find that throughout the Psalms. Psalm chapter 100 is a psalm of thanksgiving. The Bible tells us that Daniel kneeled in prayer and gave thanks to God 3 times a day. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Paul said about the Philippian brethren in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And he taught them in Philippians 4 and verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And so when you read in the Bible about men who are godly, men who are faithful men of the Lord, this attitude of gratitude is characteristic of them. In fact, ingratitude is characteristic of a degenerate people who have left God. Now, these things being true, we as Christians ought to be deeply concerned about this. How can I overcome ingratitude? Or to put it more positively, how can I develop an attitude of gratitude? I want to suggest 5 words to you tonight to help us to do this. Here's number 1. I want to suggest to you the word remember. We need to remember to never forget. You know, in this day and age of such great abundance and constant desire for more, it is easy for us to receive blessings and then quickly forget about them. We take our blessings for granted, and oftentimes we don't take time to appreciate them and to take time to remember them. And so the first thing we need to do is to remember never to forget. We need to be like the psalmist. Psalm 103 and verse 2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. That was his prayer. That was his psalm. Bless me, but don't let me forget the blessings. If I am ever going to have an attitude of gratitude, I've got to remember. You remember in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 40, how it is that Joseph had, he was in prison and he befriended a man who was a butler to the king, to the Pharaoh. And as he's in prison, Joseph helps this individual and the butler implies, when I get out, I'm going to help you. But you remember what happened when the butler did get out. Genesis chapter 40 and verse 23 said, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Where was the gratitude? Where was his appreciation? Where was the thank you? It left with the words, but he forgot him. Brethren, we have got to remember. It has been well said, blessed are those who give without remembering, and those who receive without forgetting. The first thing we need to do is remember. The second word I want to suggest to you is the word reflect. Number 1, remember. Number 2, reflect. We need to reflect on our blessings. Oftentimes, we are so thankless because we are so thoughtless. We don't thank because we don't think. We don't stop to appreciate the commonplace and the ordinary blessings that the Lord has given us. Just think about everyday things. What if one day the sun did not rise? What would happen? We would be frantic. We would be hysterical. But think about the many days, day after day, that the sun does rise. Do we stop and thank God for that? Do we feel gratitude for these commonplace and ordinary things? Brethren, what I'm saying is we need to do like the song says, the song we just got through singing. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Oprah Winfrey wrote something. And I rarely, if ever, quote from Oprah Winfrey, but I'm going to do it tonight because she said something that is good advice on this particular topic. Oprah said that we need to keep a grateful journal. She said she keeps a grateful journal. And she said every night she will write five things that happened to her that particular day for which she is thankful. And she said what will happen when you do that is it will begin to change your perspective of your day and of your life. She said if you can learn to focus on what you have, you will always see the universe as abundant and you will have more. If you concentrate on what you do not have, you will never have enough. Now, brethren, that's good advice because it's exactly what we're talking about. We need to count our many blessings. We need to reflect also on the source of those blessings. James chapter 1 and verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Brethren, we need to count our blessings rather than our bruises. You know, sometimes people become so focused on their troubles and their difficulties and the things that they don't have, and we want to sing our own sad song when how much happier and more grateful we would be if we would learn to find the good and to be thankful for that. I heard about a little boy who he had gotten glasses, and he wasn't very happy about that, but his parents were trying to encourage him to find the good in it. And so he said, "Well, you know, I like my glasses and I'm thankful for them because it keeps the boys from fighting me and the girls from kissing me." Well, it's looking at the good in it, and that's how we need to do. Look at the good and be thankful for it. The very famous commentator Matthew Henry on one occasion had his house robbed. And after this, he wrote in his diary, he said, "Let me first be thankful. Number one," he said, "because this man never robbed me before. Number two, that he did not take my life. Number three," he says, "though he took all that I possessed, it wasn't very much. And number four," he said, "let me be thankful that it was I who was robbed and not I who was doing the robbing." Now, can you see how that type of attitude will make a person different? Can you see how it's going to change your thinking? How it's going to make you more thankful? Now, if you look at a person who counts his blights rather than his blessings, you're going to see a very unhappy person indeed. But if you look at a person who reflects on the good and takes time to express appreciation and to think about those blessings, he's going to see things in a very different manner. Number one, we need to remember. Number two, we need to reflect. Number three, I want to suggest to you the word recognize. We need to recognize what we do have. You know, I believe that one of the contributing factors to the constant ingratitude in our country is exactly what we were talking about a moment ago, and that is that people are constantly focused on what they do not have. Instead of thinking about the great blessings that we're some of the richest people on the planet, instead they're thinking, you know, I don't have so-and-so. My friend has this and I don't have that. And so they're focused on that. There's a constant dissatisfaction in life because of what they don't have. And brethren, that attitude and that outlook is very much not biblical. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 8, the Bible says, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Hebrews 13 and verse 5 says, "Be content with such things as you have." Now, you know, we all know these verses, but all too often we forget. And rather than being thankful and happy for the remarkable blessings we do have, we focus on the things that we lack. I heard a story about a mother and a father who had given a sizable donation to the church in memory of their son who had been killed in World War II. When this was announced publicly, there was another mother sitting in the audience, and she leaned over to her husband and she said, "Let's give the same amount in honor of our boy." And the man replied, and he said, "Our boy's in the military, but he didn't lose his life. Why should we give that?" And the woman said, "That's my point. Let's give an expression of gratitude for the fact that his life was spared." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize the remarkable blessings that we do have rather than focusing on the things that we don't. And especially as Christians, we need to do that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ." I want to challenge you this week to count your spiritual blessings. Just think about it. I'm not even talking about the physical things. Count your spiritual blessings. There's the Son of God. There's the church of which I'm a part. There's the Holy Bible and all the blessings associated with it. There's my brothers and sisters in Christ. There's the precious promises of the life to come, the sustaining hope of heaven, and we could go on and on. You sit down and do that, and you will come away feeling like a rich, rich person. There was an old Christian gentleman, and he was called upon by a tax assessor to place taxes upon him that he needed to pay. And so the tax assessor came and he asked the man what property he owned. And the Christian man replied by saying, "Sir, I am a very, very rich man." And so the tax man asked him, "Give me a list of your possessions." And he did. This is what he said. He said, "I have the remission of sins," Acts 2:38. "I have a mansion in heaven," John 14:2. "I have a peace that passes all understanding," Philippians 4:7. "I have joy unspeakable," 1 Peter 1:8. "I have a divine love that never fails," 1 Corinthians 13:8. "I have a faithful and a pious wife," Proverbs 31:10. "I have devoted children," Exodus 20 and 12. "I have true and loyal friends," Proverbs 18:24. "I have songs in the night," Psalm 42:8. "I have a crown of life," James 1 and 12. "And I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who supplies all of my needs freely," Philippians 4 and verse 9. The tax man closed his book and he said, "Sir, you truly are a wealthy man." He said, "But I can't tax you on any of these things." He said, "Your possessions give you 100% profit." And that's what we need to do. We need to recognize the great blessings that we do have, rather than focusing on the things that we don't have. Number four, I want to suggest to you the word realize. If we want to develop an attitude of gratitude, we need to realize just how detestable ingratitude really is. In Romans chapter 1, one of the many sins on the black list of vicious sins, characteristic of the Gentile world, the Bible says in verse 21, "Neither were they thankful." We also mentioned earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 3 where Paul says that in the perilous times of the last days, along with many of the other transgressions of those times, he said men would be unthankful. I believe one thing that would help us to overcome ingratitude and to view it the way that God views it. Because I think oftentimes we don't think it's a very serious thing. And we think, well, you know, I wasn't thankful. That's just not that big a deal. But God reckons it among some of the most vicious of vices and among the most tragic of transgressions. Ingratitude is a detestable sin. Have you ever seen a child who was never thankful? Who wanted his way all the time and wanted to be given everything on a silver platter and then he was and he never said thank you, never showed any appreciation. How'd that look? How does it look to God? You think about the account that we read tonight about the 10 lepers that the Lord healed. 90% of them did not return. 90% of them did not come back to tell the Lord thank you. And how do you feel when you hear the Lord ask that question, "Where are the nine?" Do you think the Lord notices when we don't express gratitude to Him? When He asks the question, "Where are the nine?" Jesus was saying, "I'm aware of the fact that they were not appreciative of the great blessing I bestowed upon them." Shakespeare wrote, "Blow, blow, thou winter wind, thou art not so unkind as man's ingratitude." Brethren, if we're going to overcome ingratitude, we need to begin to see it for what it really is. We need to begin to see it the way that God sees it, something that is detestable. We need to remember. We need to reflect. We need to recognize. We need to realize. And finally, we need to relate. We need to relate our gratitude. We need to express our gratitude verbally. You know, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, we are instructed to give thanks, not just feel thanks. Not just to think about it, not just to sit back and be appreciative in our minds, but to give thanks to the Lord. Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." We need to express it. We need to relate our appreciation and thanks to God. A preacher was sitting in his office one day. He was tired and wearied by the cares of the day. And his little girl came into his office. And she sat in his lap and she said, "Daddy, I didn't come in here for anything. I just wanted to tell you that I love you." And it so warmed the preacher's heart, he forgot about all the troubles of the day. You know, in a like manner, God is a father. And He too desires for His children to express their love and their gratitude to Him. And we need to learn to do this, not only by the things that we say, but also by the way that we live. Think about the impression you're going to make on people who are not Christians when they see that outlook that you are thankful for the things that you have and you are appreciative and you're giving God the glory for the things that you have and recognizing Him as the source of your blessings instead of always walking around complaining about the things that you don't have. Think about the difference that is going to appear to the world, and then think about the difference it's going to have on your mindset. One person is very happy and thankful for what he does have. The other person is never happy because he never has enough. You know, Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 10, the Bible says, "He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." Now, what does that mean? If a person is looking to money and the things of this world to make him happy, he is never going to have enough to make him happy. He's never going to be satisfied. If you've got the attitude of the things I don't have, you will never be happy. I heard it said one time about John D. Rockefeller, who at the turn of the century was one of the richest men on the planet. Someone interviewed him on one occasion and asked him, "Mr. Rockefeller, you are one of the most wealthy men on the entire planet. How much money is it going to take before you're satisfied?" You know what he said? "Just a little bit more." Right? Just a little bit more. Why? "Because he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase." If we're always thinking about the things that we do not have, we will never be satisfied. But a person who is going to look at the great blessings God has given him and count those blessings is going to be satisfied in no matter what state he is in. You know, the Apostle Paul made a statement that I thought about many, many times. He said, "I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now, it's interesting to me because Paul went through some very difficult situations where he had very little. But he said, "I've learned to be content." But particularly the word that interests me in that passage is he said, "I have learned to be content." It didn't come naturally. It took some effort. It took some learning on his part. And it took a conscious effort. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on the blessings that God has given us and learn to be content, learn to be appreciative. You know, in Psalm chapter 116 and verse 2, David asked the question, "What will I give unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me?" How would we answer this question? What shall I give unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? I should give Him my love, my time, my money, my talents, my all, and my gratitude. As Christians, we need to develop the attitude of gratitude. George Herbert, on one time, is recorded as having prayed, "Our Father, You have given us so much. Do please give us one more thing, a grateful heart." And may that be the prayer of each one of us, that we might have a grateful heart, an attitude of gratitude. This evening, I am thankful to be a Christian. I am thankful that someone took the time to tell me of the church for which Jesus died. I am thankful that I have the hope of heaven when this life is over, because these blessings are offered to all of mankind through obedience to the gospel. There are things beyond this life that you can look toward that can bring you happiness and joy, and that is eternal life in heaven. The way you do that is by obeying the gospel and becoming a New Testament Christian. Hearing it, believing it, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins.